I'm going to read a passage from Genesis 29. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance, and Jacob loved Rachel. So he said to Laban, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man, so stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is complete." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, Laban took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did not I serve you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "It's not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week with this one, and then we'll give you the other as well in return for serving me yet another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. So Jacob went into Rachel also and loved Rachel more than Leah and served Laban for another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me." She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also." And she named his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name shall be Levi." And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. And then she ceased bearing. This is the reason some of us don't even like to read the Bible. I mean, you have people selling women back and forth. You have, there's sort of unspeakable selfishness, weakness, brokenness, evil in this story. And do you see a hero? I want to give you a little bit of background. Jacob's grandfather, Abraham, had a vision from the Lord. And the Lord said to Abraham, he said, "Abraham, look at the world. Look at the evil in the world. Look at the brokenness in the world. Look at the weakness in the world. Through you, Abraham, I want to create a nation that's going to live the way the world should live. But it's not going to be enough. And so also through you, Abraham, each generation, I'm going to pass a seed on. Each generation from you, one person will carry this seed. And eventually that seed will turn into someone who becomes the Messiah. And that Messiah is going to save the entire world from the evil, brokenness, and weakness." Abraham had 2 sons. He had Ishmael and Isaac. And God had prophesied that the seed is going to go through Isaac. And then we come to Jacob's story. When Isaac's wife, Rebekah, was pregnant, a prophecy came and said, the seed is going to go to the younger son, Jacob. The older shall serve the younger. But what happened is when Rebekah gave birth to Esau and then to Jacob, scripture passage says, when the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in the tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of the game. And Rebekah loved Jacob. And what you saw in this broken family is a father doting on the older son. Doting, spoiling. And Esau, what does he do? He grows up to be a spoiled, shallow, impetuous man, filled with weakness. And Jacob grows up to be a conniving, deceitful cheat. Right? And so there's a certain point where Jacob is filled with an inner emptiness. I mean, in this you see incredible human family brokenness where the younger son knows that his father doesn't love him. He sees it, he senses it. There's an inner brokenness, and he longs for his father's blessing. So one day, His mother and he come up with a plan because they are great plotters and planners and connivers and schemers. And they decide to put Esau's robes on Jacob. So Jacob puts his brother's robes on. And they cook food just the way Esau used to cook for his father. And he goes in and he says, Father, Jacob says, Father, I'm Esau. I want your blessing. I want your blessing. And there's a point where Isaac is having a hard time believing it because he says, you sound a lot like Jacob. And so Isaac says, you know, it's all these names, it's hard to remember, but Isaac says to Jacob, come closer so I can hug you and kiss you. And when he comes closer, Isaac says, I smell on the robe, I smell the fields, you are truly my son, my beloved son. So Jacob finally gets the words that he's always wanted to hear, but he knows they're not for him. He's dressed up in somebody else's clothes. And then Esau finds out about it, and Esau is furious. Now, Esau is an impetuous, spoiled brat, and he's furious, and he says, I am going to kill Jacob. So Jacob is forced to flee. So Jacob flees his family, and he goes hundreds of miles east, hundreds of miles east. And now, what's happened to Jacob? Jacob is penniless. There's a place where it says he, at night once, he had to use a stone for a pillow. Now, if you have to use a stone for a pillow, I mean, that means you don't even have a backpack or a spare pair of socks. He's penniless. His father is furious with him. He's lost the love of his mother. He'll never see his mother again. The only person who's ever loved him, he's lost her love. And he has a brother who wants to kill him. And he flees to a far country, a relative of his mother's, and his life is ruined. There's no hope for him to continue the seed of Abraham, is there? Continue the promise. His life is ruined. But there he sees Rebecca, and Rebecca's beautiful. And there's something inside him that says, if I could just have her, if I could get this beautiful woman to love me, at least maybe we can fix this wreck of my life. If I could get somebody to love me. That's Jacob's story. Laban's story. Laban is a shepherd. He has a flock. He has a couple. He has a few sons, but his sons aren't very good managers of the flock. They're just not. You know, some people are more talented at this, and some aren't. Laban has two problems. He wants to grow his flock, and he has a daughter who's unwanted. He has an unwanted daughter, and as a father, he wants to marry her off. And along comes Jacob just at the right time. And Jacob works for Laban for a little while, and Laban sees in Jacob a really good manager, a supervisor. It seems that whatever he touches turns to gold, except in his own life. And the flocks are growing, and he sees a potential suitor for his daughter. So Laban says, I can kill two birds with one stone. That's Laban's story. What's Leah's story? Leah's story is that she's unwanted and that she's ugly. She's ugly. Now, you didn't see that in the scripture passage. This is the verse that you saw in the scripture passage. It said, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. And there's a difficulty in translating this Hebrew word weak. In fact, if you read different translations, some will say her eyes were frail, some will say her eyes were fragile, some will say her eyes are soft. But if you read the whole verse, it's not saying that Leah had Coke bottle glasses and that Rachel had 20/20 vision. It's not saying Leah couldn't see the hand in front of her face, but Rachel had the eyes of a hawk. It's saying Leah had some issue with her eyes. Now, we don't know what that was, but there was something in her eyes. It could have been some kind of pus or drainage. It could have been something, but there was something that made Leah unattractive. It made her ugly. So had Leah had something with her eyes, and Rachel was stunning. Rachel was stunning. Absolutely stunning. And Leah's saying, I know that I'm unwanted, but if I could get Jacob, this incredible manager, if I could get him to love me, Maybe my life would go right. You know, that's why she goes along with her father's plan. They're on a collision course. Do you see Jacob's life, Laban's life, Leah's life? There's a collision course. There's a train wreck coming. The author's done something brilliant here. You know, and there's no heroes here. There's no heroes. What do we learn from this train wreck of a Bible story? What happens is Jacob makes a deal with Laban. I'm going to serve for you 7 years. I'm going to make you a rich man. And at the end of that, I'm going to get your daughter. And there's a wedding feast. And in these days, the wedding feast was a huge thing. It was sort of like the event of the year for the town. There's a huge wedding feast. Jacob probably drank too much. I mean, that's what happened. He probably was a little more than tipsy. And he goes to bed with Rachel, the dream of his life. And scripture says, in the morning, behold, it was Leah. In the morning, behold, it was Leah. There's a guy named Derek Kidner who wrote a commentary on the book of Genesis. And this is what he says about that verse. The words, behold, it was Leah, are the very embodiment of anti-climax. And this moment, and in this moment, they are a miniature of man's disillusionment, experienced from Eden onwards. What is Derek Kidner saying? He's saying, when Jacob says, in the morning, behold, it was Leah, what it's saying is there's a disappointment, there's a disillusionment in all of us where we have our hopes set on something. And in the morning, behold, it's Leah. In the morning, behold, it's Leah. Because scripture says time and time again, there is some type of inner vacuum inside our hearts. Inside us, there's something. There's an inner vacuum that we are trying to fill. There's a deep need that we have that we're longing for. We're trying to fill. But in this life, anything we try to fill that void with in the morning, behold, it will be Leah. Whatever we try to fill with that hole with in this life, our careers. I've studied hard. I got great grades in high school so I could go to college. I got great grades in college so I could go to grad school. I go to grad school so I can get a great job. And you know, the job is pretty good. But it's not filling that empty hole. In the morning, behold, it's Leah. We do it for a spouse. We say, I really just, you know, I don't want money. I don't want a great job. I'm not looking for the great ministry. I just want a man or a woman to love me. That's what I really want. And we set our empty hearts on this man or woman. This man or woman may be a great spouse. But in the morning, behold, it's Leah. You know, I have a whole list of examples. You know, some of us just want affirmation. Some of us just want people to say, you just do a great job. Whatever you do is great. Some of us just want to be liked. Some of us want to be respected. Some of us want to have wisdom. Whatever it is we try to go for in this world, in the morning, behold, it's Leah. Solomon wrote an entire book about this concept called the Book of Ecclesiastes. And in the Book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, I thought sex was going to throw me. So he had the biggest harem of everybody. And what does he say? In the end, all was vanity and a chasing after the wind. It was Leah. And then he said, okay, I'm going to try wealth. And he became the richest king in all of history of Israel. And he said, in the morning, all was vanity. In the morning, behold, it was Leah. Then he said, I'm going to try leisure. Then he said, I'm going to try wisdom. And he said, behold, it was vanity and a chasing after the wind. Because anything we try to fill the empty hole in our life with in this world, anything, the greatest success, a Christian ministry serving the poor in the morning, behold, it will be Leah. Scripture calls these things idols of the heart. Now, we think of idols as those golden calves or those statues in temples. Idols are a lot deeper than those things. They're a lot more subtle than those things. The thing is idols can be good things. All these people here are just trying to look for the traditional family, aren't they? You know, aren't they looking after family values? And in the morning, behold, it's Leah. I preach. And I really want to speak God's word, but sometimes I just like it when people come up and say, that was a great job, Sam. Tomorrow morning, behold, it'll be Leah. Anything we try to get in this world, the things of this world that we try to satisfy ourselves with, we'll never do it. It's always Leah. In the morning, it's always Leah. Oh, this is a despairing sermon. What do we do with this despair and disillusionment? What do we do with it? I mean, let's admit it, but then what do we do with it? If we have a longing that nothing in this world can satisfy, maybe it's because there's something outside the world that's supposed to satisfy us. C.S. Lewis says, creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there's such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there's such a thing as water. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Well, let's talk a little bit about healing and how this actually happens in this broken, weak family. What happens to Leah? What happens to Leah? She starts by cooperating with Laban, her father. She literally puts on her sister's wedding gown, doesn't she? She pretends to be Rachel. She pretends to be Rachel. And you know what? In the morning, she woke up and she was Leah. Behold. There's an inner emptiness in all of us that we just keep trying to fill. Some things, if it's just wrong in my life, I can just do willpower and I can say, just stop it. A while ago, I learned you're supposed to have 64 ounces of water. At least that's what I've been told. Willpower, I just drink 64 ounces of water every day. Not a big deal. And then there's other things in my life that no matter how much willpower I pour into it, I always say the stupid thing at that. In that particular instance, I always do it, or I get angry. I mean, there's things in our life that we can control because they're not from an inner emptiness. But there's other things in our lives that we just continue to do over and over and over and over again because they're coming from an inner emptiness. So Leah tries to be her sister, and in the morning, behold, she's Leah. Then she has a son, and she says, you know, finally, my husband's going to see me. So the word Reuben, she names her first son Reuben, has to do with sight. And you know what? It doesn't work. So Leah's stuck to this Morrison principle. She has another son, and she says, now he'll hear me. So she names him Simeon, which has to do with hearing. It doesn't work. So she has a third son, and she says, now he'll cleave to me. Finally, this man that I love, he'll cleave to me. So she names him Levi. Now, I feel really sorry for Leah. Of all the characters in this story, Leah's the one that my heart goes out to the most. This is a woman whose entire life has been unattractive. But to compound it, she has a sister who is stunning. It's one thing just to be unattractive. It's another thing to have your younger sister be stunning. And then what happens? She is stuck next to her sister the rest of her life. She's reminded every single day of her life that she's unattractive and unwanted. Every day, because her younger sister is the delight of her husband's eyes. And I can just imagine Leah every day. Jacob comes home from a day in the field and she says, hey, hon, sit down. Let me get you lemonade. Can't you just see her every day trying to do something to win his affections? She's having son after son after son to say, if I have this son, he'll see me, he'll hear me, he'll cleave to me. And in the morning every day, she was Leah. But then finally something happens in her heart. Finally something happens and she has a fourth son. And she says, this time, she's turned a corner. She says, this time I will praise the Lord. And the word praise the Lord really means, Judah is who she names it. Judah actually means singing praise to the Lord. Something happened in Leah where she is singing. The scripture doesn't tell us what happens, but there's something. And don't you see all of a sudden a hope in Leah's life? This time I will praise the Lord. Leah is singing. And you know what? The promised seed that was spoken to Abraham, that went through Isaac and through Jacob, came through Leah and through the fourth son, Judah. That's where the son came. The seed came. Somehow Leah understands that the bridegroom she got, you know, the poor deal that she got, was superseded by, in some way, God being her true bridegroom. There's some sense that she got where she could have an inner satisfaction, where she could be praising the Lord. Now, if I stopped right here and I just said, okay, you all have inner vacuums. It's not very good. Go out and fix it. Where would you be? We'd all say, well, Leah somehow got a fix, but I'm not sure how. Frankly, I could have given this sermon 10 years before Jesus was born, because I haven't said anything that has anything to do with Jesus, have I? No. And it would have been as good, or as bad. Well, I love suspense movies, mysteries, thrillers, where throughout the movie, you're just led to believe a whole set of things, circumstances, stories, facts, events. All these things lead you to believe some particular truth. And at the very end of the story, something happens. You just get one more tiny fact. And all of a sudden, you see the entire picture differently. The events you thought were little events are major events. The people you thought were heroes were the villains. The people who you thought were the villains are the heroes. Have you seen movies like that? And isn't it fun? I mean, isn't there something that's just exciting about that little key at the very end that twists the whole movie around? And all of a sudden you look back and you actually want to watch the movie again, don't you? Because you want to look at the whole things and start seeing it through the new light. I don't know how Leah got this message from God. I just don't know how it happened. I really don't. But I know something that we have that Leah didn't have. And it's the key that lets us see the whole scripture all over again. It's the key that lets us go through those whole stories again and see something new. Jesus is that key. See, Jesus lets us look at scripture and all of a sudden understand things that we never could have understood without Jesus. See, Jesus is the true Jacob. Jesus is the Jacob that Jacob should have been. You know that passage? I love that passage. Verse 20 says, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, but they seemed to him but a few days because of the love for her. This is really deep, passionate love. He served for a pretty nasty guy, and he seemed just a few days. That doesn't that remind you of the passage in Hebrews where it says of Jesus that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame. See, what Jacob really is, what Jesus is to Jesus, we are Rebecca, and he endured unspeakable agony for the joy set before him because of the love he had for her. For you, for me. Do you see the real Jacob? Jesus is the true Esau. Esau clung to his blessing, but Jesus took his own robe off. Do you know what? Remember on the cross, he's naked. Jesus took his own robe off so he could put it on us to say, I want them to have the blessing, Father. I want you to have the blessing. He took his own robe off so that we could be beautiful. Jesus is the true Rebecca. Rebecca was gorgeous. She was splendid. She was stunning. Scripture says Jesus was splendid beyond our imagination, beyond our comprehension. Jesus was glorious. Jesus was stunning. He, though splendid beyond our reckoning, became ugly so that we can become beautiful. Jesus is the true Leah. He became unloved. He became forsaken, unwanted, so that we can be loved. Jesus is the true Laban. Laban is conniving for money, for manipulation, for himself. But Jesus, who is rich beyond reckoning, gave it all up so that we could be rich. Don't you see how just the little key of Jesus makes a huge difference? This story is all about Jesus. Jesus is the true Laban. He's the true Esau. He's the true Jacob. He's the true Leah. He's the true Rebecca. He's the true bridegroom. Do we want our hearts changed? Do we want our hearts changed? Do we want a deep inner penetration of our soul by the love of God? Scripture says that we have died in Christ and risen in Christ. What Leah did is Leah, out of her inner brokenness, dressed up as Rachel to try to heal that inner brokenness, but it didn't work because in the morning, she was Leah. But in Christ, what it means, what Scripture means, is when we come before Christ in our inner brokenness, we go to bed as Leah, and in the morning, behold, we are Rebecca. Do you see what it means to die in Christ and then to be risen again? We die to our old self, and in the evening, we go to bed as Leah, and every one of us wakes up in the morning as Rebecca. We come to him because we are empty, not because we're full. Scripture is not Aesop's fables giving us three steps to a better marriage in order to fill ourselves. That's not Scripture. Scripture is God's story of the emptiness of man and how Christ came to save us and to fill us. See, we have an inner vacuum, and we're looking to fill it with money, love, sex, power, esteem, respect. And it doesn't work. In the morning, it's Leah. But when we go to Christ with that emptiness, he fills it. He fills it. So now we are blessed in order to be a blessing. We are so filled that now that we can go out into the world and no longer suck the blessings from the world out of an inner emptiness, instead out of an inner fullness, knowing that in the morning we are Rachel, we can go into the world and bless the world. You know, if you're single and you're saying, I just want to get married. Well, listen, Christ was single his whole life because he's going to marry us. But you know, if you're single and you say, I come to the Lord with my emptiness and he fills you, you can now someday be the spouse that gives to your wife without expecting back or gives to your husband. Because you're so filled with an inner fullness of Christ that you're not going into marriage to suck from that marriage, suck life, but you can go into that relationship to give. Are you married? And your marriage, in the morning it was Leah? Are you married and you're unsatisfied? Come to Christ. Come take that inner emptiness to Christ. See, you're not going to get it from your husband or your wife. You never will get it from your husband or wife ever. But if we go to Christ, at night we go to bed as Leah, and in the morning we wake up as Rachel. And now we can give to our spouse, not out of an inner emptiness, but out of an inner fullness. Do you think your life is on plan B? You've made some major mistake. You've done something really bad. I mean, you really have. In your heart, you know you've done something. You know what? There's no plan B with God. Look at Jacob. I mean, a moron, an idiot, a thief, an inner, shallow, conniving cheat. But his life never went on plan B. We see in this story Rachel coming to the Lord. Later on in Judah and Jacob's story, we see him coming to the Lord. Your life is not on plan B. Let's go to the Lord and fill that empty emptiness with the grace and the love of God, who says you go to bed as Leah and we wake up as Rachel. You having troubles with money? You know, it's a hard time. Are you just anxious about the money that you have? Are you anxious about your kids? Are you anxious about the esteem? Are you anxious for respect? Are you anxious to just be noticed? This inner emptiness will not be filled in this world because we're made for something so much greater than this world. Amen. We're made for something so much richer, deeper, fuller, greater, life-giving. This world is too small to fill the inner emptiness of our souls. In Christ, we go to bed at night as Leah, and we wake up as Rachel.